Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I am looking everywhere. I'm tearing the house apart, and I can't find the traveler's checks. I go into the office, and our church secretary is there, and I had just a really crammed schedule. I was trying to get everything done, and my bank was way on the other side of town. It was about a 15-mile drive because we had moved, and our bank was over there. They only had one branch, and I didn't want to go running way across town to get new traveler's checks. And I says, I need you to pray that we can find them. And she says, well, let me share with you what I do when I lose something. I just begin to praise God and thank God. I recall that He is all-knowing. He knows exactly where the thing is that is lost. He is all-powerful, and He can put it in my path. Even if I lost it somewhere else, He can supernaturally take it and put it in my path so I know where it's at. And I just ask Him to help me find it, to give me the wisdom, to use His power, and then I begin to thank Him for it. And she says, most of the time, I find it in a short amount of time. So I says, what does it hurt? So I begin to say, you know, thank God for everything, and God, you know it all, and you know where it's at, and just reveal it to me where it's at. And I went on, and I thanked Him, and that night I went home, and I looked a little bit more for it, and all of a sudden, I had an idea. And the idea was, I had been working on some books, I'd been doing some paperwork and stuff, and there was a file on the table, and maybe the traveler's checks were in the file. I went to our file cabinet, I pull it out, and there were the traveler's checks. And it was like, thank you, Jesus. All right? How many wish your prayers were answered that quickly? That'd be neat, huh? This past week, one night, actually it was 2 weeks ago, the previous week, our 12-year-old daughter comes into our bedroom. It's nighttime, it's about bedtime. We already put her to bed. And she says, my tablet is missing. Now, we had known her tablet was missing. It had been missing for about a month. And, you know, I've casually prayed that we would find it. We've casually prayed with her she would find it. But she was just really, it's like, man, I really want my tablet. I miss my music at night. I miss my tablet. And I remembered about this process that I go through when we have something lost. So I shared with her the story that I just shared with you, and then I said, I think we should pray for it, and I had her pray. So she begins to pray, and God, you're all-powerful. You know where it's at. You can put it there. God, you know where it's at. And she began to thank God, and we had looked all over. She had looked all over. She walks out of the bedroom, goes to her room, and within 5 minutes, to me it felt like a minute, but I'm told it's a little longer than that. But within 5 minutes, she comes back in the room, her face is glowing, and she's holding her tablet. Yeah, you can give God a hand. And it's like, you know, and she said, I went to my room, and I had an idea. I had an idea before of where it might be at, but it was so ridiculous I didn't look there. But I had that thought again. So I went and looked in the spot, and it was there. And, you know, and she was blown away, like, wow, the power of prayer. And I was just so thankful to God, and I was just thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if all my prayers were answered within 5 minutes? How many know that's not the way it works? It a lot of times doesn't work that way. Many times we pray, and it seems to tarry, it seems to delay, it seems to wait. And maybe some of you, you're here with us this morning, you're new, you're a guest, you're visiting for the first time, it's the first time you've been in a church in a long time, and maybe you've experienced something like that. Maybe you have stopped praying because you've prayed and you felt God has failed you. You couldn't have picked a better Sunday to be with us this morning, because we're going to talk about one of the reasons, there's many, but one of the reasons why God sometimes causes us to wait in prayer. On the screen, our title is called ASAP or A-Late. It's a picture of a runner, and he's running along this long mountain path. You can tell he's been running for a long, long time. And as we talk about prayer today, that's kind of a picture of what we need to be when it comes to prayer. We need to run and run and run. We need to run like Pastor Josh does. Pastor Josh, he was at a race in Seattle yesterday, and he ran and ran and ran and ran. There were times he's running in mud this thick. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how bad it gets, we need to keep praying. It doesn't matter how slow, how long it takes to see the answer. We need to be continuous in prayer. Many times I approach prayer and it's like it's a cosmic vending machine. I put my dollar in, I make my selection, and boom, it comes out. Sometimes my prayers, I want drive-through prayers. And it's like, you know, I come up, I place my order, and a few moments later, I come to the window, and what I said is what I receive. And I think a lot of times when we pray, we're praying, God, answer my prayers now. But when Jesus teaches about prayer, Jesus reveals to us that is not the purpose of prayer. Take a look at Matthew chapter 6. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus touches a number of topics, but he shares with his followers principles of prayer, and in doing so, he makes some interesting statements. So take a look in verse 9. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now we're going to keep this scripture up here as we look at this verse. Jesus starts out by saying, "Hallowed be your name." To hallow something means you reverence something, you worship something. It involves praising and glorifying God. When we're hallowing God's name, we're worshiping Him. We're giving God glory and honor and praise. Jesus then goes on and he mentions your kingdom come. Last week, as we talked about the secrets of success, we talked about seeking first the kingdom, seeking first God's rule, seeking God's purposes and plans in our life, seeking what He wants, seeking to accomplish His will. And so Jesus starts out with those two things, giving glory to God and the kingdom. He then progresses and talks about prayer as asking for our needs. Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. Bread was the staple in that society, the staple food. We have meat at almost every meal. Back then, they had bread at every meal. If you had bread, you had food. Bread was the principal part of their diet. And so Jesus is basically saying, ask God to give you whatever you need to make it through the day. The rest of the He basically talks about how to live right with God and live right with other people. If you have any sin, confess it. Examine your life. If you have to forgive someone, forgive someone. Pray that you're not led into temptation. Pray for God to help you in spiritual attacks. It's all about living right with God and others. And then he wraps it up, and look what he says. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He wraps it up the same way he started, talking about the glory in the kingdom of God. How many see that there? Here's the point, and it's in your notes this morning on the back of your bulletins if you're taking notes today. Prayer begins and ends with God's glory and God's kingdom. Prayer begins with the glory of God, giving God praise and worship, recognizing who He is. It begins with His kingdom accomplishing it, His purpose, His will, and it ends with the glory and with the kingdom. And if that is so important, if Jesus says that the glory of God and the kingdom of God are so important in prayer, then that really needs to be my mindset as I'm approaching my prayer time with God. But there's a lot of times when I pray, I'm praying ASAP. God, give me this as soon as possible. That's what ASAP means. How many knew that this morning? How many didn't? I think everybody knew that. As soon as possible, God, give me as soon as possible. But here's the thing. When I'm praying, God, give this to me as soon as possible, I'm usually thinking about my comfort, about my ease, about what I want. I'm not thinking about what God wants, about God's kingdom, about giving God glory. That's the problem when I pray ASAP prayers. And this morning, I want to talk about praying ASAP prayers or a late prayers. You say, what's a late? You're going to have to wait. All right? But an ASAP prayer, here's the results of praying, God, give this to me as soon as possible. Number one, we target what we want instead of what God wants. A lot of times we're thinking about, this is what I need, this is what I desire, this is what I'd like to see happen. And it might be good stuff, it might not be selfish, it might even be a good thing, but we're only looking at the need from our perspective instead of God's perspective. And how many know God's perspective is bigger, deeper, farther, and broader than any perspective you and I can have? And so when I'm praying as soon as possible, God, do this for me now, I'm looking at what mostly what I want. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul wrote to the Roman church and he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Praying for the will of God, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And here's the thing. Very rarely does my first draft of a prayer accomplish the full good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Many times my prayers are like a term paper. When you write a term paper for college or for high school, they tell you if you want to write a paper, you need to write more than one draft. How many found that to be true? Your first draft, you've got some good concepts, you've got some ideas, you write stuff down, but there's some things that maybe aren't accurate, some things that need greater for clarification. And as you do more research, I need to add this. I need to take this out. It doesn't really belong here. And that's what our prayers are like sometimes. There's some things that we need to add. There's some things that, you know, that's not really a good thing to have in there. And so I'm pulling out of my prayers. I need to write my prayers like I write a term paper. I need to realize when you come to the second draft, man, you're refining it, you're making it better, and that third draft you go through, did I spell everything right? Is there right grammar? And, you know, is there a clear communication? We need to refine our prayers because sometimes my first draft, it's good, but it's not fully pleasing to God. And it's definitely not perfect. But as I continue to pray, and it takes time, God begins to refine. He begins to reveal things to me, things that need to change. And so our prayers need a refining. If God answered our prayer, boom, immediately the way we wanted it, it wouldn't accomplish His pleasing, perfect will. It might be good, but it's not His full will that He wants to do in our lives. There's a second result of when we pray ASAP prayers as soon as possible. We tend to pray the path of least resistance instead of the path of the greatest glory. When I have a problem, God, I want you to heal me now. I want you to provide for me now. I want you to answer me now. I want you to do it ASAP, as soon as possible. We want to remove the problem, the difficulty, the pain, the suffering. God, I don't want to go through this anymore. Take it away ASAP. But I'm not thinking about the glory of God, which the kingdom and the glory are so important. Prayer begins with it. It ends with it. It's about what God wants to accomplish and how God can receive the most glory. We see a great illustration of this in John chapter 11. Maybe you'd like to turn there. We're going to really camp out here, starting in verse 1. It's the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And it starts out saying there was a certain man was sick. It was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. You have to realize these three people were three of Jesus' closest friends. Next to the 12 disciples, they were three of his closest friends. Lazarus is sick, and in verse 3 it says, the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. In essence, Mary and Martha are praying to Jesus. They're asking him to heal their brother Lazarus. And so verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You see, this sickness is not about giving Mary and Martha what they want. They see how much pain their brother is in. They see his condition declining. They are concerned for his life. They don't want him to die, and they're asking Jesus, heal him ASAP. But Jesus said, it's not about healing, it's about glory. And there's so many times in our lives we don't realize that the request we're asking isn't about the answer, it's about giving God glory through the situation. And so as we go on in verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I want you to circle the word loved, because that is crucial. Because here's the thing. So many times when we're praying ASAP in our timetable and it doesn't happen, when we do not see God come through, when our world is falling apart, how many of you know it's really easy to feel like God doesn't love us? It's really easy to feel like God doesn't care, that he's walked out on us. He's playing hooky. He's nowhere to be found. He's hiding out. He's skipped town. But the writer in Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants us to know that just because Jesus didn't answer ASAP did not mean he didn't love them. Jesus loved them. And here's the thing. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how long you've tarried, no matter how long you've waited, no matter how much you've prayed and it hasn't happened ASAP, no matter that you've had to wait long, God still loves you. He hasn't turned his back on you. He hasn't skipped town. He hasn't abandoned you or forsaken you. There is something going on here that you don't see that is for God to get a greater amount of glory. And that's what this story is trying to teach us. When God delays, it's not because he hates you, not that he's disappointed, not that he stopped loving and caring for you. It's because he wants to bring a greater glory to him. We go on in our story, verse 6. So when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, he came running. He got into a sports car and broke the speed limit. He got into a chopper and flew there. Is that what he does? No. What does he do? Stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. What kind of love is that? Huh? I mean, what kind of love is that? What kind of friend is that? Our loved one is sick? I was telling the worship team before church, I can just imagine, you know, someone in our church saying, you know, they're sick in the hospital, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to wait 2 days before I go see them. And then they die. How many would say that's good pastoral care? I said, if I'm going to wait 48 hours, then Jesus has to take spray paint and write it on the wall. Craig, wait 40 hours before you go see John Smith at the hospital. Okay, I've got to know that God has told me that if I'm not going to go right away. And so here's the thing. Jesus waits. That doesn't seem very loving, very caring, very much like a friend. But again, it's not about appearances. It's not about what we want. It's about the glory of God. It's not about my feelings. How many know Mary and Martha were devastated when their brother died? Yeah. Prayer is not about me. It's about he. It's about what he wants, about what he is doing in the hearts and lives of not just me, but everyone around me. Let's skip ahead to verse 20. Jesus finally arrives in town. It's 2 days later. He arrives, and it says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, ASAP, my brother would not have died. Look at verse 32. Look what Mary says. Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times do we say that? God, if you'd just shown up, if you just did it ASAP, if you just did it on my timetable, then everything would have worked out. But it's not about ASAP. Jesus said in verse 39, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the what? The glory of God. It's about God's glory. Then they took the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Friends, when Jesus delays in answering our prayers, it's because he's working out a greater glory. He's accomplishing a greater purpose that many times we can't see on the surface. On the surface, it looks one way, but there is stuff that God wants to accomplish that we have no idea what's happening. We feel like he doesn't care, but he does care. And here's the thing. God can do the impossible. God can resurrect the dead. You know why he can do that? What's our theme for 2018? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. God defies the odds. I think we need to work on chorus. We're not quite in unison together. Let's, ready? One, two, three. Oh, there you go. Beautiful music. God defies the odds. All things are possible with him. And God was using this miracle to bring many people to believe in Jesus. God wants to use the circumstances in your life to be a testimony of God's faithfulness. I don't know why it took over 2 years for God to heal my wife of her facial tremors and tics and her head bobbling and all of that. But you know something? I kept praying. I kept praying. I wanted it as soon as possible. I was in a meeting in Florida. We were at General Council. I was at a meeting with ministers. And at the time, the way she was digressing, she couldn't walk on her own. I had to push her around in a wheelchair down there. I didn't know if she'd be around in a year or not. One of the speakers was talking about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he said, is Jesus your starting point and your end point? Is Jesus what your goal is, or do you have an ulterior goal when you pray, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to reveal this to me. I want you to heal this person. I want you to provide for me. Is Jesus really your goal? Or your prayer need your goal? And I felt God say to me, Craig, are you okay if I take your wife? And I knew what the answer should be, but I wasn't ready to give it. And they were having this altar time, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, okay, God, I know what it needs to be. And in those moments, I finally came to a place that says, God, I want her to be healed, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If you want to take her to heaven, you can take her to heaven. And in that moment, it wasn't an audible voice, but I sensed God just speak to me saying, this sickness is not unto death. I will completely heal your wife, but it's going to be a long, slow process. In November of 2016, he took away the tics and the tremors, but she's still dealing with fatigue. It's still in that long, slow process. And I don't know why God just didn't take it all away then. But he's been faithful. He's somehow receiving greater glory out of this. You have seen a miracle because you saw her, many of you. You saw the tics, you saw the tremors, you saw her head weeble wobble, but it wouldn't fall down. You've seen a miracle. If God would have healed her on our anniversary, we spent our 25th wedding anniversary at the neurosurgeon. That wasn't quite our plan. But if God would have healed her before the tics and tremors really started up, it would have been easy to dismiss, but you have witnessed a miracle. God receives greater glory. You can come to someone and say, if people say, I don't believe in prayer, you can say, I believe it because my pastor's wife was healed. Okay, I'm excited about this. I think you guys are dead. Jesus, resurrect them. Remove the spirit of Lazarus this morning. You've seen a miracle. You can testify to the power of God. You know that God is alive and he works. Many times I'm praying, Jesus, give me the path of least resistance. And he's praying, I want the path of the greatest glory. That's the second result of praying an ASAP prayer. God, do it right now. The third result this morning is we tend to mishandle and take for granted the blessings that come too easily or too quickly. Have you ever given a child a gift that they weren't quite old enough for? And what do they do to it? They break it. We've done that with our kids. I remember when my kids started to drive, I had someone tell me, you know what? Buy your kids an old clunker and let them drive the old clunker. Don't get them a nice new car. They don't have the experience. They don't know how to handle it. They don't appreciate it. Aren't those some beautiful cars up there? You see that one on the right? That 1976 AMC Pacer? My dad must have heard that guy because that was my first car. The bubble mobile, the aquarium, the terrarium, the silver bullet. Now, that was a decent one. It kind of looks like a car before. It almost looks like the DeLorean from Back to the Future, but it was just about, a decade too early, something like that. And the doors didn't fly up on the side. It wasn't quite that cool. But you get your kids a car that you don't really care if they total it or not because it's just a clunker anyway. And here's the thing. Sometimes, if God answers our prayers right away, we tend to mishandle and take for granted the blessings that come too easily or too quickly. I've found that when something comes easily, I am not as appreciative of it. When God healed my wife and it was over 2 years, man, I'm still praising God for that. Today down here, we're worshiping God, and I just begin praising for everything. I'm praising him that he healed her. It's like when we have to wait for something. It's like when there's really something you want to buy, and you don't buy it immediately, but you save for it and save for it and save for it. When you get it, there's a greater appreciation, and you don't mishandle the blessing that God has given you. The last results of when God answers our prayers as soon as possible is that we tend to take the credit for the blessings that come too easily or too quickly. We tend to, look what I did. I am not a handyman, okay? I hate doing home projects. God usually gives them to me to develop sanctification in my life. And you know, when a project goes well, I don't think about usually thanking God and praising God for it. But when there's a problem, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. You got to help me. And then when he does it, thank you, Jesus, you help me now. Jesus helped me as much when it was going bad as the time when there was no hitch. It's just because it came easily. I didn't recognize his help. And so many times when I'm praying ASAP, ASAP, and it happens, I'm not giving glory to God. I just go, I take it for granted. I even take the credit. Don't even give God any glory, any credit. And sometimes he wants there to be a waiting period so I recognize how much I need. And we sang about it. I need you, Lord, I need you every hour. He wants us to come to the place where every part of our day, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we interact with people, as we're paying bills, whatever it might be, that we realize we have this need of God and we're surrendering ourselves for the kingdom and the glory of God. You know, it's interesting. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, I'm a little bit out of order for our slide person, but we see how the disciples, they had healed, they prayed and a lame man, a beggar at the gates was healed, and they had been jailed, threats are being made against them. And how do they pray? When they say, don't talk about Jesus anymore. If you do, we're going to persecute you. We're going to jail you. We're going to kill you. How do they pray? Do they pray for protection? No. They said, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants protection? No. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The disciples knew this problem, this threat is not about our protection. It's about the kingdom. It's about the glory of God. And that's where God wants us to come to in our life. That as we are people that say, God, I'm going to seek first the kingdom. That's what real success is. I'm going to seek your righteousness. So many times I'm seeking that worldly definition we talked about last week. God, accumulate this. Help me achieve this. God, let people think good of me and not bad of me. Help me in this situation. And we're looking at success all wrong. And instead of saying, God, work your kingdom purposes out. Work your glory out. There's something greater you want to accomplish than just the routines and the activities of making my life go smooth and easy. Because if my life goes smooth and easy, I really don't realize that there's people all around me going to hell. There's people all around me that don't know the glory of God, that haven't seen the power of God, that haven't seen his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness. Instead of praying ASAP prayers in your notes, you've been waiting. What does a late mean? A-L-A-I-T. We need to begin to pray as long as it takes. God, yes, I want you to do this, but God, I pray it, you would accomplish it. You would take as long as it takes for you to receive the greatest glory, for your kingdom purposes to be accomplished. God, help me to be kingdom-minded, because it's not about Craig. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. This is all about you, God. It's not about me. Jesus, I thank you. You died on the cross. You love me. And this light and momentary trouble I'm going through is going to accomplish a far greater, what's the word? Glory. Yes, I bring my request to God, but I die to my flesh that says I want it ASAP. And I pray, Jesus, take as long as it takes and as hard as it needs to be for you to receive glory. And you know something? My human nature doesn't like that. But God wants to reveal his glory on this earth, on this planet. And I have found one of the greatest ways he does that is through conflict. through difficulty, through problems. And I usually want to say, as soon as possible, instead of as long as it takes.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.